Here's our welcome to the Moment of Truth broadcast with Pastor Josh Hickey. This broadcast is a ministry of the Truth Independent Baptist Church located in Adamsville, Alabama. We want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast and hope you receive a blessing from the precious Word of God. Now stay tuned for a message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
So beginning here at verse number 18, the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, in other words, one who's obedient, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Yeah. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. It ought to be the purpose of every Bible-believing church to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 21, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And I don't believe there's any other way that we can magnify Christ and lift him up than to keep his commandments, as we're told here in this portion of Scripture. Now, what good would be a disobedient church? It really is not a church at all if it doesn't follow the precepts and the commands of God's holy word. I think it doesn't matter how much a church knows the Scriptures if they continually disobey the Scriptures. Did not God say that we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only? And that's the age that we're living. There's no shortage of churches. There's no famine of preaching. You can go just about on any corner in this town and find a church. You find a lot of people who are hearing the Word, but not many that are truly doing the Word. And I'm talking to you this morning about being an obedient church. I was reading about this businessman, and this fella had more money than he knew what to do with. And so he was talking to this old man one day, and he said, before I die, he said, I want to take a trip over to the Holy Land, and I want to climb Mount Sinai and get on top of that mountain. He said, I want to read the Ten Commandments out loud. And the old man said, well, he said, I've got a better idea. He said, you can just stay here and keep them. Amen. And that's what we ought to do this morning. Keep the commandments of the Lord. I heard a great man say something, and I said something about this in Sunday school this morning. We was talking to Brother Danny. And I said, the Christian life is simply a series of new beginnings. That's all it is. It's a new stage. And in these days that we live, I'm convinced without a doubt, we need a new obedience to God. We need a new beginning with the Lord. And I want to point out four things if God would help us about being an obedient church. The first thing that I want to mention to you is that the obedient church will be obedient to preach sound doctrine. Now the Bible says to us preachers, and there's several preachers here this morning, that God has called us with a holy calling. And we're dealing in holy things. I mean, it just seems like, everybody today is a minister. I mean, people all the time during the week, they say, and I tell them, say, well, I'm a preacher. I said, I pastor down here at Truth. And they said, oh, I'm a preacher too. You're a preacher? Oh, okay. All right, buddy. If you say so. I mean, it just seems like everybody is a minister. You know, mama called and daddy sent. And in a lot of places, mama's the one doing the preaching. Amen. But it's a responsibility. Now, preachers, y'all help me with this. It's a tremendous responsibility like no other in this world to step behind the sacred desk and open the Bible and preach the whole counsel of God. You take upon yourself a tremendous responsibility. And I don't take it lightly. This ain't no place to get up here and play. This is a sacred place. That's why I tell these people here, don't let your kids up here behind this. This ain't no playground. Don't let them run up here behind this pulpit. They need to know this is a place where the Word of God goes forward. And this is a sacred place. And we ain't up here telling jokes and playing around and playing church. Listen, brother, it's a tremendous responsibility laid on the man of God to preach this holy word of the Lord. And it ought not be taken lightly. You know, really, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't know how some of these jaybirds can get up and talk for 30 minutes and never say nothing. You've heard them do that, Brother Jeff. I mean, just get up, they ramble on for 40 minutes and don't say nothing. I mean, how can a man go to school for 8 years and learn to never say nothing? You have to be taught how to do that. The average modernist sermon, listen, you know what he's going to tell you? Everything under the sun but what the Bible says. Yeah. He's going to tell you how you fix your hair 5 different ways. And, you know, he's going to tell you what colors to wear after Labor Day. And amen, he's going to get up and tell you how you can start a successful business. And he's going to tell you all about the power of positive thinking. But doctrine? No, sir, buddy. Doctrine? What is that? He can't even spell the word doctrine. I'm talking about a modernist, a liberal, you see. But we're told, preachers, to preach the word. I got 2 preachers here, and I'm preaching to them for a minute. Amen? Amen. Now, listen to me. I don't need people telling me what I ought to preach.
Amen.
And I don't need somebody suggesting to me how I ought to be preaching. And that kind of rubs me the wrong way when people start that. I mean, they say, it's too loud. Well, you're too loud. Well, praise God. Amen. I mean, honey, you ain't going to have to turn your hearing aids up to hear me. Amen. That's older members. They say, boy, we like you, Brother Josh. I don't have to strain to hear you. Amen. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression. There ain't nothing wrong with loud preaching. That's scriptural preaching. They say, oh, it's too loud. They say, it's too long. It's too long. Amen. They say, there's no love in it. I mean, I hear that now from people, you know, ridiculing preachers because they don't get up there and throw out hugs and kisses to everybody and say, there's no love in it. Well, I mean, dear God, they say, that preacher's just too rough all the time. He's too hard about everything. He's too staunch on everything. And this woman told me not long ago, she said, we've got to greatest preacher in all the world. She said, I've never heard anybody say anything bad about him. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You know, everybody liked Jesus until he made a whip and turned their tables over. But they loved him before he did that. But there's never been a preacher, my dear friend, who was as offensive and controversial as the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees ruled the ground that he walked on. They hated him. They hated him. And the Jewish people, some of those people, hated him. And they put him on a cross for it. They'd never been a preacher as controversial as the Lord Jesus Christ. But nobody had to tell him how to preach. You know, most of these jelly-backed, limp-wristed, spineless preachers, they know what they need to preach, but they're scared to preach it. I mean, if they just got up one Sunday morning, it's just normal here, so some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Y'all looking at me weird. But if one of these guys in the average church around here, if he just got up one morning, I'm talking about, dear sister, and dropped the hammer. I mean, just laid her down right where the rubber meets the road. I mean, he got up there, amen, and called them everything but a white person. And got up there, amen, and just preached the word of God. My friend, listen. He's scared he might lose one. He's scared he might lose one. And even more than that, scared he might lose that mucho dinero, if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Listen, brother, God did not call a preacher to be a politician. God did not call a preacher to be a hireling. I had a blonde-headed Jezebel tell me one time, I mean, this woman's tongue was so long, she could have stood in the living room and licked the skillet in the kitchen. And her tongue was so long, she said, that's what we hired you for. I said, honey, you sadly mistaken. You ain't hired nothing. Amen. Listen, friend, I'd hate to know I couldn't get in this pulpit and preach my convictions because somebody was dangling a dollar bill out in front of me. You can't buy a real man of God. You can throw all the money you want at him. Bless God, if he's God's man, he's going to preach what God said. Amen. This bunch right here couldn't buy me because none of us got no money. Amen. So I feel it real good. But what I'm saying, I don't need people's suggestions. I know what I need to preach. Amen. And the problem is that people are not interested in learning and knowing the doctrines of the Bible. You don't think we're living in a world that's swept away with religion? Brother, we're living in the most religious world that has ever been. Brother, this world is no stranger to religion. If you want religion, you can find it anywhere. You ain't got to drive very far to go find religion. I was reading an article this week, and some of y'all remember this, back in the early 90s. Y'all remember when that woman was made a grilled cheese sandwich, and she took a bite of that sandwich and looked down and saw a face staring back at her, and she swore that it was the face of the Virgin Mary. Y'all remember that? And it gets worse. She put it on her nightstand. I'm talking about religion now. She put this moldy green grilled cheese sandwich on her nightstand just because she thought she had the Virgin Mary. And it sat on that nightstand for 10 years. And then, after 10 years, it gets worse. The woman sold the thing on eBay for $28,000. Now, you say, what are you talking about, friend? You don't think we're living in a religious world? You don't think people are deceived by the religious systems that this world has established?
Right. Amen.
People, what I'm saying to you, people do not care what this Holy Bible says. But if you're going to have an obedient church, you're going to have to abide by what's written right here in black and white. Ain't no other way around it. They're not in the church. People like that are not in the church that's preaching sound doctrine. But God said there's going to come a time when people would not endure sound doctrine. And do you believe that time is now? Do you believe we're living in an age of apostasy like never before? I'm talking about an obedient church. Now, an obedient church will obey the Lord and preach sound doctrine. Number two, an obedient church will be obedient to practice separation daily. Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul had a fear. You know what his greatest fear was? Becoming a castaway. He was frightened. It scared him that God was going to put him on a shelf and leave him, and God wouldn't use him. I believe Paul lived in fear of losing the favor of God. Well, I wish some Christian people today had that same idea. I wish they had that same conviction. They were scared of losing the favor of God upon their life. He fought a battle with that old rotten flesh, and you look around this morning, there's not a single soul sitting in this room who doesn't face the same, my friend, controversy that Paul faced. You battle the flesh. This preacher battles the flesh. You battle the flesh. Every one of us battle this old rotten, stinking flesh. There's nothing else that's going to give you any more trouble than the old flesh. It likes what the world has to offer. I was reading in the book of Haggai. Some of y'all didn't even know that's in the Bible, did you? Book of Haggai, chapter number 2. I didn't until this week. I found it over and got to reading it. But I read in Haggai, chapter number 2, and I found where God was dealing with the nation of Israel once again, and they were having a problem with separation. And one of the main things that broke the heart of God when He sent Israel on into the promised land, God gave them a list of do not, stay away from this, avoid that. And the greatest disappointment to God was the mere fact that the minute they got in there, they began to mix with the inhabitants of that land. In other words, they began to adapt their practices. They began to do what the heathen were doing, the people God said to avoid. You see where I'm going with this? And today, in these so-called churches, they have adapted the ways of the heathen. There's youth groups all over this country and churches all over this country that have blended in to the world's ways of activity and the world's music, that they might reach the world. And I'm here to tell you, God has never told us to do it that way. God said to do it opposite. Come out from among them and be a separate people, God said. And God said, touch not the unclean thing. This kind of preaching will still work, friend. We live in a day now when a man of God gets up preaching like this, people want to ridicule him. I'm talking about good Baptist people, the dignified brethren. You preach on separation, they want to say, well, bless God, you're a legalist. No, I'm a biblicist. Because it's right there in black and white. Come out from among them and be separate. God wants a peculiar people in this world. He don't want you to look like them and talk like them and act like them. God wants you to be different. Amen. And I'm saying an obedient church will be separated daily. But today we're living in an hour, my friend, when these churches have become venues that are geared toward the flesh. And a very little difference between the world and the church. I wonder why the church is so powerless. Why do you talk about the glory days And the days when you were seeing God do some things, you saw people get saved and you saw churches full. Why was it? Because men of God weren't scared to mount a pulpit and preach against some things. And the reason why the churches are suffering is because preachers, my friend, have thrown in the towel and went and sat down in the corner and started sucking their thumb. Well, amen. God bless you. We wonder why we can't get our prayers answered. We wonder why the church has no power. We wonder why God not doing nothing. You wonder why God ain't blessing you. Because there's a bunch of disobedient churches who are not following what God told them to do in this word. You do it your way, you get your results. You do it God's way, you get God's results. It's a sad thing. Now just buckle your seatbelt for a minute. But it's a sad thing, and you preachers want to help me because nobody else is going to. You want to help me, amen. But it's a sad thing when Hollywood sets the tone for the church. It's amazing to me how the world affects the dress of the church, the attitude of the church, the music of the church. I'm talking about the fashions of the world control the atmosphere of the church. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. It is. I like to dress up nice. I feel underdressed this morning because I ain't got my coat on. But some of y'all say, well, it's helping you preaching. Or some of y'all say it ain't helping you preaching. They need to get that coat back on. But I like to dress up nice. I think you ought to honor God when you come to church. You ought to look good. You'll dress up. And I think ladies ought to dress up nice and fix themselves up nice. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong when some little fad comes through Hollywood and it ends up in a local, independent, Bible-believing, redneck Baptist church. There's something wrong with that. Hollywood, my friend, sets the tone for the church and it's directly against what God said. Yeah. There's something wrong when God's people get their fashions out of Cosmopolitan magazine instead of this holy Bible. Some of you girls, you wear your clothes too tight, and I preach this till I'm blue in the face. You wear your clothes too tight, and if people can see every curve of your body, it's too tight. God don't want you to reveal that body. God wants you to be modest. God wants to promote modesty, not immodesty. The world tells you to dress one way, and God tells you to dress another way. This world wants to make you women believe that to be modest. And see, they've turned this word modesty into a cuss word. They have. And they want to make Christian women believe that if you're going to be modest, well, you're just going to be in the, you're going to be barefoot in the kitchen, you know, standing over a sink and wearing a potato sack for a dress. No, you can be fashionable and still be modest. Amen. You can do it. And God promotes modesty. That's what God wants for you. And it ain't just for the women. I have seen 60-year-old men wear a little muscle shirt. And there's only one thing wrong with that. He didn't have no muscles to go with the shirt. But he got his little muscle shirt on. And wearing his little gold chain. And one little chest hair sticking out. And at 60, I'm talking about somebody's granddaddy. And got little shorts on that comes up a foot above his knees. And he got his little chicken legs. And they're wider than this shirt that I got on. Amen. Dear God, have some decency for somebody having to look at you. You might be comfortable. Bless God, we ain't. I see people like that and I think, don't these poor souls have somebody that loves them? I mean, honest to God, I mean, it's like, don't they have anybody in their life that says, don't go out of the house looking like you look. You look like a dum-dum, amen. My wife, she said, tell me that, amen. What in the world are you wearing? You'll change, amen. You look like an idiot. And they, some people, man, I just wish God would put somebody in their life to tell them something every now and then. I mean, help us, Lord. But we ought to be obedient to practice separation daily. Now, let me remind you what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness, listen, with unrighteousness? None. He said, what communion, listen, hath light with darkness? None. He said, the answer, my friend, is very simple. None. None. The holy, I've had young girls start dating some little boy, and he's not saved, he ain't in church, he don't know nothing about God, and fact of the matter is, don't care nothing about God. And she dating this thing, and he's as sorry as a $3 bill. Won't work. Girls, don't marry somebody that won't work.
Right.
I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm glad I am. And I've heard little old girl in church, good Christian girl, she said, well, I'll get him saved and I'll start bringing him to church. No, no, no. The holy never sanctifies the unholy. And you opening up a can of worms, you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. Some decisions you might make and some things you might do, you opening up Pandora's box, friend, when you get to messing around with things God told you to stay away from. And I know when you're 16, 17, you got all the answers. And mom and daddy are just fuddy-duddies and don't know nothing. Let me tell you something, girl. If your daddy don't like him, you better listen to daddy. Because he knows what that little sucker's up to.
Right.
I wish somebody helped me this morning. He knows, and if mama, boys, listen to me. If mama don't like her, you better perk your ears up and listen to what mama, because she done got her number a long time ago. The holy never sanctifies the unholy. Yeah. And so whenever you bring the holy and the unholy together, they don't mix. It's like oil and water. They don't go together. Listen, a sick person, he doesn't get well because he's around healthy people. Healthy people get sick because they get around sick people.
Yeah, right.
It's like the old country preacher used to say, honey, if you sleep with the dogs, you're going to get flea bitten. I mean, listen, I don't want no dog laying in the bed with me. I mean, honestly, God, who wants to smell dog breath all night? And they get right up in your face. I mean, old stinking dogs. Listen, I don't want some flea bitten hound laying in the bed with me. The dog belongs outside under the porch, not in my bed under my covers, amen. But I'll tell you, some of God's people sitting around bug-eyed, watching the world's movies and listening to the world's rotten music and going to the world's ungodly places and they're laying in the bed with the dogs. And God said, you to be separate from them. You not to fellowship light with darkness, holy with unholy, righteousness with unrighteousness. God said anywhere at the sinner's meet for the ungodly pleasure and the ungodly good time. God said you to keep your nose out of it. That's what he said. That's what God said. And I would to God we had some more preaching on this about God's people staying away from the things of the world. No more than a child of God can go out here and wallow around and act a fool in the stinking hog slop of the world and come out clean. Listen to me, friend. It'll steal every godly thing out of you.
Amen.
It'll steal every bit of spirituality. It'll steal every bit of your love for God. It'll steal every desire that you have to live for God when at one time you used to walk with God and serve God and live for God. It'll drain you of every good thing. The holy never sanctifies the unholy. I want the devil in the world and my family and everybody around me to know which side I'm on.
Right.
You can't go too far to the right. I'm not talking about being some kind of ultra spiritual nut. Ultra spiritual people make me nervous. I'm not talking about being a stick in the mud. I'm talking about you can enjoy life, but you can do it in a godly way. People hear me preach, say, that guy must be the most miserable person ever walked the earth. No, that's good. I enjoy life. I love life. I've got a good life. I'm happy, amen. And you can live a good life and still honor God. It can be done.
Amen.
You ain't got to live in the world, act a fool, and go over to the devil's side. I don't want the devil to know whose side I'm on. And like this old woman that lived in the Civil War, and the troops were coming in, and they was tearing up the people's farms, and the old lady was sitting by the fire one night, and them soldiers come in, and they got to grabbing up the pigs and the chickens, and they was tearing things up and burning down the barn, and the other men of the house had gone out to fight. There was nobody else there but her and that little boy, and them soldiers come rushing in with the horses, had their swords drawn and had their guns on their side, and that old woman just reached over to that fireplace and she got that poker, and she took it out. She got to waving that poker around, and that little boy said, "Mama," he said, "you can't do nothing with that poker. They got guns and they got horses and they got swords." And she shook that poker in her face and she said, "I might not do much, but bless God, they'll know whose side I'm on when I get on." Amen. I mean, I want somebody to know whose side I'm on. I believe we'll stand up and let people know. You ashamed of the gospel, and you hang your head when somebody mentions Christ's name in public, and you drop your head, and you're ashamed of the Lord. No, listen, you're to hold your head up high and say, "I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, and I love God." And you ain't got nothing to be ashamed of in this world.
Amen.
I believe we'll stand up, not only obedient to preach sound doctrine and obedient to practice separation daily, but number three, obedient to the pastor's scriptural decisions.
Amen.
God gives a church a man to lead them for a reason. And I don't have a habit of going around telling other pastors how they ought to pastor their church. And I don't want no man coming here telling me how I ought to pastor this church.
Yeah.
And I don't have to go ahead and beat my chest and tell everybody who the pastor is. They know who the pastor is. But my friend, God gives a church a man to lead them. And I don't know what another man's church needs no more than they know what this church needs. I had a man this week call me up and try to tell me things that I need to be doing at this church. And he never even been here. You don't know what this church needs. So shut up. I know what this church needs. Amen. Some people, they get their hands on it, have it tore up in 2 months. They would. I mean, dear friend, listen, and preachers of the world's worst. Now, fellas, you're going to help me. Jeff, y'all going to help me, amen. But they'll go out, want to do this. They'll go around in a roundabout way and tell you what the will of God is for you. Well, they don't know. They ain't got a clue what the will of God is for you. I mean, they ain't got a clue, but they got it all figured out, don't they? I'm not trying to be no Superman when I say I know what this church needs. And if I need advice, I've got some good men that I can call on and get it. That's what I'm sitting there. And there's some other men. I'll call them and say, "What do you think about it?" They don't just go around volunteering, their advice to me and telling me what this church needs. I saw a man a few years ago. Just give me 10 more minutes. Dear God, I've lost some of y'all. But give me 10 more minutes. But I saw this man in a restaurant not long ago, well, it's a few years ago. But we gone to church with this fella for several years at a little church not far from here. If I called the name, everybody here would know the church. But we sat under a great, great man of God, Brother Don Carter. He's with the Lord now. He's in heaven. He's reaping his reward. But what a man of God he was. What a preacher. What a preacher. But Brother Don had just died not long before this. And I was talking to this man in that restaurant. We was in there getting breakfast. And I just making conversation. I asked the guy, I said, who is the church considering for pastor? Brother Jeff went over in Canada. Well, one time. And they didn't like him. Why? Got up there, preached a little bit. Amen. Called some kids down, being rowdy. Amen. Wasn't acting right, church. Just said, kids, straighten up. Amen. They said, oh, bless God, we sat under a dictator for a decade. We're not going back to that, bless God. Well, I mean, God forbid the man of God, amen, try to teach some kids how to behave in the house of the Lord.
Amen. Right.
But he said, Brother Josh said, let me just tell you. He said, I'm just going to go ahead and put it all out there. He said, we getting back to the church, calling the shots. We sat under a dictator for a decade, and we are taking back over. I said, okay, buddy. He said, I hear you, fella. Better be careful with that. Well, they did. They called the shots. They sitting up there with about 10 this morning. I got about 10 or 12, and amen, I mean just struggling, dead, dead, dead. And that man that told me that don't even go there anymore.
Amen.
I mean, he just, amen, he packed his suitcase and went on down the road. God just conveniently led him away.
Yeah.
I mean, you got rocks for brains if you think you want to come up against God's ordained man, God's called man, and get away with it, friend.
Yeah.
God ain't going to put up with it. That's all there is to it. You know, I'm trying to help somebody this morning. And we don't have that problem here. I'm just warning in the future if it ever did arise. We don't have that problem here. Anybody here is in their place. And that's where it ought to be. That's why God's blessing this church. But you get out of place and God will just cut the reservoir off, son. God will just turn the faucet off. And as quick as God can send a blessing, amen, God can send a famine. And so you just start walking sideways. You just get away from God. Stop doing what God told you to do and see what happens. Now the Bible said in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. And that for they watch for your souls, spiritual things, as a pastor. And they must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. It's unprofitable for you. That's what the Bible says. Now, you can't skirt around God's word and expect things to go the right way and expect things to go your way. People won't be the head honcho. Now, look up here. Everybody look at me. I told you I've got 5 more minutes. I got 5 country minutes.
Amen.
Now, everybody wants to be the head honcho. I mean, everybody wants to go around and be the daddy rabbit. Amen. I mean, everybody wants to call the shots. And when the whole thing turns into a royal disaster and it goes up in flames, they want that pastor to be the fall guy.
Amen.
I mean, they want him to be the scapegoat, but they wouldn't let him lead the thing. And he's supposed to, amen, take the darts, take the arrows of their bad decisions. Boy, every church in America needs to hear that.
Amen.
I mean, you expect a pastor to be prayed up, confessed up, fired up every time he gets in his pulpit, every time the doors of the church are open, but you haven't so much as cracked open a Bible or set a little lady down to sleep prayer all week long. You ain't prepared for nothing, but when it comes to the things of the church and the things of God, you got all the answers, don't you?
Amen.
Well, I got to close this down. Amen. Some of y'all can't take no more of this. Say, preacher, you stopped preaching and now you're meddling. Let me give you the last one. Obedient to preach sound doctrine to practice separation daily, to obey the pastor's scriptural decisions, and last of all, obedient to pursue souls diligently. Now, is there somebody this morning you have in your crosshairs? You got somebody that you say, I got a burden for that person. I want to see them saved. I want to see them in church. Some lost sinner that you're actively pursuing in hopes of bringing them to Calvary. You got somebody like that? If not, why? Why? I mean, it's not hard to lead somebody to the Lord. And you have let your mind and the devil convince you that you can't do it. Why don't you get a gospel tract and find somebody and read it through with them, show them the tract, and then tell them how to get saved. Tell them how God saved you. That's as simple as it is. We can't do that. I don't want to go empty-handed into the presence of God. And there's some people ain't never won nobody to the Lord. Why? They're not pursuing. They're not pursuing. Every day, pursuing somebody. I had a lady this morning. Wednesday, she come in, give me a list of names. Preacher, I've been talking to these people. Come in this morning, had two lists of names. Look, here's some people you can call. I'm talking about addresses, phone numbers, a whole nine yards. Amen? What is it? Pursuing. Pursuing. Actively going after people.
Amen.
I told her, I said, I held him a piece of paper and said, this is gold. This is gold to a pastor. Why? Going after people. Not just sitting on the seat and do nothing and not doing anything. I don't want to go empty-handed into the presence of God. When I leave this world, I want to bring some sheaves with me. I want to stand before God. And I want to have some crowns that I can lay at the feet of Jesus. Oh, can we win them, friend? Can we help the wandering souls come to Christ? God help us. Are you seeking souls? Are you pursuing souls? Are you shining the light of the gospel to show them the way? And I'm closing with this. I read a story about a ship was rocking and reeling out on the dark waters. The storm had come in and the ship was trying to dock in the Cleveland Harbor. And my friend, the rain was pelting and the lightning was crashing and the waves were rolling like mountains. And the captain of the ship said, are you sure that this is Cleveland? And all he saw was one light shining on the lighthouse. And the pilot said, yes, sir, I'm 100% sure this is Cleveland Harbor. The captain said, the light is up high. He said, where are the lower lights? Where are the lower lights? He said, they've gone out, sir. They've gone out. It's dark. And he said, can you make the harbor? And the man said, either I'll make the harbor, are we going to crash and scatter this boat all over this ocean? And so my friend, the old pilot, turned the wheel. But in the darkness, he missed the channel. Missed the channel. And with a loud crash on the rocks, the boat was splintered and scattered, and many lives were lost to a watery grave. And the lighthouse keeper, he had failed to keep the lower lights burning to show the way of safety into the harbor. And oh, dear friend, the obedient church will keep the lower lights burning. Yes. Day and night, they'll be burning and pointing the way to the cross. And they'll light the path to Calvary. Go after them. Go after them out there. Pursue them. Bring them in. Pursue them. And don't stop until you see them saved. Until you see them kneel at Calvary.
Believers are partakers.
You have been listening to the Moment of Truth broadcast from the Truth Independent Baptist Church with Pastor Josh Hickey. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please take this time to write us at P.O. Box 190, Adamsville, Alabama 35005, or give Pastor Hickey a call at 205-434-0600. Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
Are partakers of the benefit.